like Jesus, by his presence all divine, true and tender, pure and precious. Oh, how blessed to call him mine. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me. So freely given, grace of God beyond degree, mercy higher than the heaven, deeper than the deepest sea. What a wonderful redemption!
Take your Bibles this morning. Turn to the book of Revelation, please. Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21 this morning. We're going to read together verses 1 through 5 this morning. I'll read aloud as you read along silently. Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 5. As you're turning to find your place, or if you've already found it, if you're able, please stand to your feet this morning in honor of the Word of God as we read it together this morning. Revelation chapter 21, beginning at verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." And he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said unto me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." Father, I pray you'd bless us. Thank you for this powerful passage. Again, we read, adding a verse this week, but God, What a wonderful promise. Now, Lord, help us today to be better Christians. Help us, if we're not saved this morning, to trust Christ as our Savior. But, Lord, do a work in our hearts and lives today. For this to be accomplished, we need you to anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit power. And, Father, if somebody listening on the internet or in this room does not know Jesus, they would trust him today. In Christ's name, I do pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated now, we're asking that you make sure your cell phone is turned off or to vibrate. Check that right now, would you please? Inevitably, I ask you to do that, and inevitably, somebody's phone goes off during the service. So in case I need to speak in more than one language, let me just say it one more time. Turn your cell phone off. Thank you. Heaven. Last week, we talked about the heaven that is now. Today, we talk about the heaven that will be. There are two heavens. In the Bible, there are three. There is the heaven, first of all, that God created when it says God created the heaven and the earth. In one moment, God created the atmosphere, the air we breathe, spun the stars to their courses and the planets in their places, where man, these many thousands of years later, still has not found the depths of God's creation in the universe. Remember that, people. Look at me. Remember that when people think they're so important, would you please? In a moment, God created all that and spun the stars in their courses. It even says in Genesis, and he created the stars also, just like that, boom, in an instant. Not evolutionary, accidental, all of a sudden, boom, it was there. It came because God said, let there be, and there was. That's heaven number one. Heaven number two is the heaven that is now, where folks go when they leave this life and they know Christ, they've been saved, absent from the body, present with the Lord. They immediately go to the heaven that is now. We talked about it last week. The fact that we don't know a lot about the heaven that is now. It's called the paradise of God. You know how close it is? It's a heartbeat away. When we leave this life absent from the body, present with the Lord, it's instantaneous. You draw one breath here, you draw the next breath in heaven. You take one step here, you take the next step in heaven. It's that close to us. See, why isn't there more about the heaven that is now? Well, because we told you last week it's temporary. It's not going to be around forever. It's been tainted by sin. There's been rebellion in heaven with Lucifer and his bunch. And then Satan comes back and attacks heaven later. Heaven that is now is not the perfect place God has for us. But I assure you, anybody you know that was saved, trusted Christ as their Savior, when they left this life, they went to a paradise of God. And I guarantee you, it's not a loner. It's not second place. It's not second class. Because, see, God is there. So it's a beautiful place. But because it's temporary, God just decided to not tell us a whole lot about it. Say, I wish I knew more. Why do you want to know more about what God has not told you of? Why? Obviously, it isn't that important. But it is a beautiful place. They're there now. I believe the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, we're compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. I believe they can watch us here on this earth while we live our lives. The heaven that is now. Oh, but in Revelation 21, verse 1, it tells us about a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away and there was no more sea. Then from Revelation 21 to end of Revelation 22, God gives us a lot of information about the new heaven, the heaven that will be. So I think I'd like to know more about the heaven that is. Now let's talk about the heaven that will be. See, the heaven that is passing off. It's going to pass off. The heaven that will be, that's the eternal home. And God in his word has decided to open the pages of scripture, roll back the scrolls of eternity and say, here, get a glimpse of what I have prepared for you. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. Modern versions say place with a lot of rooms. Got news for you. That ain't a mansion. I live in a place with a lot of rooms. Nice house, but it's not a mansion. I've been in mansions before. I'm impressed. You ever been to Hearst Castle. Good. See, we're simpatico. Great minds think alike. I don't know what that says about us, but great minds think alike. You know, a place has got hundreds of rooms in it. Room here, room there, all these rooms. First of all, there's people who live in a house that's got far more bedrooms than they need. You know what that means? The kids will move back home. You better get rid of them rooms. Let me just tell you that right now. No, and he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. Don't mess with the Bible. All right? I've never thought of a mansion as a one-room apartment. Never thought of that. Never saw a mobile home and said, there's a mansion. Never thought about that one either. I got a picture in my mind. You say, how do you know what it is? I don't know. He just said, in my Father's house are many mansions. Leave it alone. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That kills the heaven on earth thing for folks, okay? God's going to make a new earth, and it's going to be really beautiful, and it's going to be very nice and everything else. It's one massive golf course. There's no oceans, no water, no water hazards, not even a sand trap. But see, how do you know it's like that? How do you know it ain't? You haven't read your Bible. The truth is, Job says, I heard the cry of the driver, so that must be something. Anyway, this thing about the new earth, don't get hung up on this. The idea is this place he is preparing for us now. Oh, that's the heaven that will be. And what has he told us about the heaven that will be? Well, first of all, if you read your Bible, he's read scripture to you this morning. Did you notice how many times he mentions something new? You ever seen someone buy a used car and say, I got a new car? Well, it's new to them, but it ain't new. See, new to God means this. Now watch, I'll give you a little theology on this one. New means ain't ever been used. Brand new. Spotless, pure, clean. It's new. There isn't anybody there in that city now except Jesus preparing it. Now, if you imagine that God created the world in 6 days, and Jesus is attributed with the creation in John chapter 1, and he took everything you see, ladies and gentlemen, he made it in 6 24-hour periods. And he made it by stepping out, first of all, onto nothing and spoke it into existence. And then from that, he made something he created in 6 days. Everything you see and understand with your eyeballs right now and everything you've ever saw. And he did that in 6 24-hour periods for 2,000 plus years. The creative power of the Almighty God, Jesus Christ, has been preparing this place for us. And it's new. It's never been touched. It's never been tainted. It never will be. This place called heaven that's new, it's not new and different. It's new. It's never been used. It's new in that it was made by God. It's a new place where everything is going to be new. Not just the place. Everything's going to be new there. We're going to be there. We'll be new. We'll be there with God. Everything we understand about God will be. Everything will be brand new. This heaven that will be is a new beginning for you and for me. So he makes this place called heaven, and it's a place that's called new. The new heaven that will be has nothing to remind us of this life. In your Bibles, look again, Revelation 21, and look at verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he said, that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said, write, and he said unto me, write, for these words are faithful and true. It's a new place. We'll be with the saved of the ages. Yes, we'll know who they are, and they will know who we are. But look at me. Here's what's new about it. We won't know and remember anything about each other from our past. No one's going to walk up to you in heaven and go, where's the 20 bucks? I loaned you a hammer. Where's the cotton picking hammer? No one's going to walk up to you and say, I remember you. You were my dad. And I remember what you said. And God just gives everybody a permanent case of amnesia for eternity. Now that's new. Can you imagine that? You're walking around through life in this life today, and you see somebody, and their face reminds you not only of who they are, but reminds you of what they were to you or weren't, what they did or shouldn't have done, what Even though under forgiveness, we still have the memory of what's happened between each other in life. Can you imagine living in eternity like that? Walking in a brand new place with old memories. Now, I'm not talking about knowing who they are. We'll know. The Bible says, even shall I know, even as also I am known. So don't mistake that. It's not like we're all going to be strangers. We'll actually look at somebody, but what we remember about them has been removed. So there is nothing there of any past, nothing there of any thought, nothing there of any action, nothing there of anything that shouldn't have been done. It'll all be wiped away clean. Can I tell you something, ladies and gentlemen? There's a little practice you can have for that on this earth. It's called forgiveness. If you really do practice biblical forgiveness, you remove what that person has done from you in your mind. It may come to mind, but every time it does, you remember that it's a forgiven thing and you keep putting it away from you. And you know, you can go through life without holding grudges and being bitter and being mad at somebody and ruining other people's lives because somebody messed with your life. All that garbage that goes on in our lives and our world today, unbelievable how innocent people suffer because of the wrong done to somebody else. They suffer. Somebody else has to suffer for that. How foolish, how childish, and how wicked. But God, just to make sure that never happens in heaven, the new heaven, the one that will be, he says all former things are wiped away. It's new. There's no need of the sorrows of this life. There's no need of the regrets of this life. No more pain, no congress in heaven. Can you imagine that? Say, well, Pastor Johnson, why not now? Hey, why not now in this life? Why doesn't God do that for us now? Because, ladies and gentlemen, look at me. Because you would only have it for this life. God has always, in his wisdom, has decided the best is yet to come. All right, illustration. It has to be a food illustration. You could be sitting there eating succotash and eggs. Now, first of all, succotash is not bad. And if you Yankees don't know what that is, you get to the Holy Land, you'll find out. It's not bad. It's squash. It's good stuff. Succotash and eggs. You probably don't even like squash because, you know, you need to get saved. But the truth of the matter, you could be sitting there eating succotash and eggs. You could be having a meal. When you were a kid, I remember my grandmother worked in a kitchen in the junior high school there, in one of the junior highs in our town, and she would bring home leftover food stuff from not people's trays. We weren't homeless, okay? They used the 1 gallon containers of butterscotch pudding. They eat it halfway down, serve it. She'd bring the other half home, that kind of stuff. And I remember sitting there when she brought home chow mein one time. Now, I wasn't crazy about Chinese food because I didn't understand it. It looked like somebody blew a bad head cold in that container. It's what it looked like to me. And I thought, nasty. I'm not putting that in my mouth. But when she put it on the table in my house, it wasn't a kitchen. You served it. You ate it. If I didn't, I'd still be sitting there waiting because she's going to make me eat whatever that was. But I'd look at that head cold on noodles. And I'd think, if I can get through this, there's butterscotch pudding in that refrigerator. And I get me some butterscotch pudding. So I can get, because the best is yet to come. See, we want all our heaven on earth. We want everything here now. We live that way. We're like the prodigals. Give it to me now. I want it now. I want all the joy now. I want all the happiness now. I want all the blessings now. I want everything now. Give it all to me now. And you leave it all here. It's all going to stay with us here. You're not going to have any longer than this life. But God in his infinite wisdom has made a brand new place. It has no more sorrows in it. It has no tears in it. There's no pain in it. There's no crying in heaven. I wonder what my people are going to do in heaven. They cry at everything. They cry at Groundhog's Day. They cry at, you know, the fourth Tuesday of the month. They cry at everything. I wonder what my people are going to do in heaven. No crying in heaven. All tears gone. All sorrows gone. All the pain is gone. There's no cemeteries. There's no death. There's no cancer. There's no sorrow. There's no hurting. There's nothing there. That has all been removed. And then God puts all these brand new people in there and says, just before you go in, let's clean the memories. And he wipes the memory slate clean. So when we see each other, we know who we are. But we don't look at them and go, wasn't I married to you for 42 years? We'll remember her. I know my wife. I'll look at her and say, babe. But I won't remember things that I shouldn't remember about her. And there's nothing to remember. Let me just say, nothing difficult. Yeah. Next time you're preaching, your wife's sitting in the auditorium, you can do that too, pal. That's not a problem, okay? It's new, okay? This heaven that will be, it's brand new. This heaven that will be, it is magnificent. Look in your Bibles again at Revelation 21. You see the analogy God uses here. He says, and I, verse 2, Revelation 21, verse 2, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, what? Prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. One thing every new groom has to face is, it ain't about you, Spanky. You just show, you could be up there in flip-flops and baggy shorts. No one cares. Because it's all about the bride. And that's fine, because it should be. Because that's their only day. After that, it's all over. She has to do everything. No. But it's all about the bride. Ooh. Every time I read that, I think about that day. Bible Baptist Church, Sacramento, California. Now, standing on the platform, I've always had a fear of being up in front of people. I still do. If it wasn't for the grace of God and CBD, I would not be standing here right now. The grace has got nothing to do with it. I don't use CBD, okay? I was standing there, and I was so nervous. My knees were knocking so bad. It was like I had a mariachi band in my britches. I mean, it was bad. And my brother married us, and I'm standing there on the platform, literally. I knew, because I'd been in the military, you stand and pray for a long time. If you lock your legs, you cut the circulation of the back of your legs, you'll just pass out. So I knew to keep my knees bent a little bit, so I was bouncing. And I tried to look, you know, like I was in control, but my head was like a sprinkler. And I'm waiting, and then the door opens, and here she comes on her dad's arm. What? Oh, yeah. This angel. Okay, so I'm standing there waiting, and the platform just had one step to the floor. They didn't do the rehearsal where you put your arm here and your left hand hangs at the side with your knuckles bent and, you know, all that kind of stuff. It was like just go in there and get married. So I'm standing. Here she comes down the aisle. I'm saying, oh, yeah. Her dad stops right there. Who gets this bride away? Her mother and I do. No one told me to go over there and get her. So I'm waiting. So she walks over, puts her foot on the first step. I put my hand out. She looks up at me with them hazel green eyes and says, I can't do it. What did you say? She said, I can't do it. I go, uh-uh. What? She said, and she's pulling back on my hand. She's taking off on me. Now, I was a linebacker in high school. She would not got out of the building. No way. Knocked her down, Fred Flintstone, over the shoulder. We're getting up there, bad one. We're getting married. And she's pulling back. I said, what are you doing? She said, I can't do it. I can't do it. She had stepped up on the first step and stepped on her dress. And she was trying to back up enough to pull the dress up far enough to get up on the, which wouldn't have been a problem if someone would have told me, go down there and get her. So I let go, but I watched her. Then I took her hand and we walked up and got on the platform as a bride adorned for her husband. The heaven that will be is a magnificent place. You read through the rest of Revelation 21 and 22, it's amazing when you think about it. It's a city, four square, 1,500 miles high, wide and deep. See this map of the United States right here? If you took the new heaven and you set it down on the United States of America, it would cover almost coast to coast, east to west. Go up into Canada, down into Mexico, 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles deep, and 1,500 miles straight up in the air. It's a cube. But don't worry, don't worry. There's streets of gold. There's gates of pearl. There's 12 gates in around the city. The wall is 216 feet thick and 216 feet high that goes all the way around the city, 6,000 miles long, this wall. The gates, if in proportion, there's three in each of the four walls. If the gates are in proportion to the walls, they're 100 miles wide, and each gate is made out of one pearl. You should have seen the oysters. It's amazing. You step inside, there's gates, there's streets of gold. There's a crystal river. You see, Brother Johnson, I mean, come on. Don't you think that is all analogy? No, that's real material stuff right there, ladies and gentlemen. And each house is made of alabaster and the walls of alabaster. At the foundation of the walls are 12 precious stones that are literally hugely, very thick, and they go all the way around the wall. It's amazing when you think. It is magnificent, ladies and gentlemen. It glisters and gleams, not in the sunlight, but in the light of the presence of God in this place. It is a magnificent place. Yeah, there's streets of gold, gates of pearl, walls of jasper. But it's real. It's not imaginary. It's not someone's thought. It's not something that you make up in your own mind. I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. I know that's a context of scripture and God's revelation of truth, but you know what? God loves how you can take one person's scripture and turn it as another facet and get an idea of the fact that man has never even thought of something as magnificent as heaven. A city four square, a place prepared for those who can enter in through the gates. It's why gates in heaven? Because you have to come in the way God says. Why gates of pearl? Why not gold? Why not silver? Why not diamonds? Why pearl? Because a pearl is a product of suffering. That little grit gets inside that oyster, and that oyster puts a coating around that grit to cover it because it irritates the oyster. The pearl is a product of suffering. You're going to enter that city because somebody suffered for you to enter that city. And it's not just somebody, it's a person. That person is Jesus Christ. He went to the cross and suffered death and hell and everything else you could imagine, dying in your place. You enter heaven through a pearly gate to remind you, I entered this place because of suffering. And it's a gate of suffering or a gate of pearl to remind you when you enter that gate, ain't no more suffering after that. You enter into that place, and yes, there are gates and there are streets of gold and mansions and houses, and people live there. It's a city. It is a literal place. You walk on streets of gold. There's an old story of a man, they say, obviously fictional, died and went to heaven. When he got to heaven, he had several suitcases with him. And St. Peter at the gate, he's not there. I don't know why they even say it that way. He said, what are with the suitcases? And the man said, well, I just brought some things with me. He said, well, the sinner, let's see. He opened it up, and the man had gold bars piled up in the suitcases. And St. Peter looked at it and said, you brought pavement? People live and die for this stuff. God paves heaven with it. It's like going into the supervisor's meeting over here and walking them there and said, I want this city to do what I want them to do, and here's why. And put two buckets of cement up on the counter and say, this is why. And they look at us and say, we paved the streets with that stuff. You get no weight with them whatsoever. Most of them won't listen anyway. The truth of the matter is, here's the deal, ladies and gentlemen. See, heaven mocks materialism. We get impressed with gates of gold, gates of pearl and walls of jasper and streets of gold and all this stuff. We think, whoa, that's amazing. God says, are you kidding me? I build with the stuff. So don't get yourself all infatuated with the fact that my life is determined by the quality of how much money I put in my pocket, how much money I put in the bank, how much I get, what I own, my materialism, my possessions. Forget it. God says, I use that kind of stuff just to pave streets with. I use that kind of stuff just to build houses with. I use that kind of stuff just to put a place up so you'll have a place to go, because I want you to know what's more important is what the city is. What's more important is who's in it. It's a magnificent place. And you know what's tragic? And this I know is true. We will get used to it after a while. We will. Hey, look here. We will. How many times have you looked at Mount Shasta? It is to me one of the most magnificent mountains on this planet, and I've seen a lot of them. It's amazing to me. This church is Shasta Baptist Church because we're in Shasta County, and there's Lake Shasta, and there's Mount Shasta, and there's also Shasta Cola, but we won't go into that. But the truth is, I have looked at that mountain since I was a boy, but I'm still amazed by the beauty of it. It's still incredible. But there are days when I look up and go, yeah, there's Mount Shasta. Because after a while, you get used to things. You mean Pastor Johnson in a place with streets of gold and gates of pearl, after a while we're just going to go, yeah, that's gold. Uh-huh. Because that's what we do here. Look at me. That's what we do here. Oh, yeah, I'm saved. Really? Hey, I'm saved. Yeah, I'm a Christian. Oh, so it's old news to you now. And how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? He won't take it away from you. He's just challenging you. Is it still great? Hey, after all these years, is it still great? This year will be, I've been saved 60 years this year. Amazing. Say, did you get just saved, Pastor Johnson? Wait, I got saved when I was a 9-year-old boy, American Baptist Church, Antioch, California. So I've heard it before. Then you're going to hear it again. And the truth of the matter is, it still amazes me that day. I finally got over my shyness. I walked the aisle. I trusted Christ. I got saved. You know what, ladies and gentlemen? My soul, I refuse to take for granted my salvation. You ever sit down and begin your prayer time? And when you begin your prayer time, you get your heart right with the Lord. That's always first. And then what do you do after that? You give time of thanks. You give time of grace. You give time of worship. What is it when you worship? And you're thankful to God for what's the first thing? Midterm elections. Oh, my soul. Let's clean the house and get rid of. No. Is that what's the first thing you think of? You bought a tank of gas 2 years ago and you still got the same tank of gas? It's worth $1,000. Is that what you think of? Huh? Look at me. Your health, your life, your strength, your home, your clothes on your back. What is the first thing that should come to your mind? I didn't say what is the first thing. I said what's the first thing that should come to your mind? I'll tell you what should come to your mind. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. That saved a wretch like me. But you see, that's why I know when we get to heaven, we'll walk around after a while and those go, yeah, that's still Jasper over there. They really are pearl. Yeah, same on the other side too. Because we just get used to the goodness and the blessings of God in our lives. And this new heaven is a limited place. Everything about it is eternal, available, incredible. But it does, look at me, it does have specific dimensions. There is enough room in that heaven. If you take the footage, and I've looked it up before, it's billions of square footage that people could live in. You could put billions of people in the new heaven. Billions. God has made it sufficient so that there could be room for everybody. But you know, the Bible tells us that hell has enlarged itself. That the place of hell that God also has created gets bigger and bigger and bigger. By the way, that kind of shoots you Calvinists in the foot, doesn't it? God is sovereign. If God knows how many people are going to get saved and how many people are not, why does hell have to get bigger? That's free. Then you got heaven, but it's made specifically. There's a limit to the size of heaven. I do believe, according to the dimensions, if it's in the proportion as we understand from Scripture, then, ladies and gentlemen, it's big enough. There's enough room for everybody, but it is limited. But there is room, while there's room for many, in fact, billions, it does have a limit to how many can go there. When Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions, he also said this, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. See, he made it such that you have to go to heaven through Jesus Christ or you're not going. Look at me, period. Look at me, period. He didn't add anything to that. He's the way to heaven. He's the truth about eternal life. He is the life that we have here. He is everything we need, and it's all through Jesus Christ who died for us and paid for our sins. You will not go to heaven until you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. See, it's a limited thing. See, well, that's not fair. God should limit. No, it's very fair. First of all, it's fair because it's just. There's one way to heaven through Christ. That's just. Then we don't have to have all this mixture of stuff. How would you like, look at me, friend. How would you like to compete your Sunday morning, show up when you feel like a kind of Christianity, with a Buddhist or a Hindu or a Muslim who's dedicated to their faith? How would you like it if everybody's faith gets to go to heaven and you'd have to stand there with a Sunday morning and could care less kind of Christianity, stand there next to somebody who's dedicated to their faith? There's no just in that. That's not just. So God made it so there's one way, Christ. You get saved, trust Christ, you go to heaven. Period. That's it. That's just. And it's fair. You know why? Because if you don't take God's way, that's your choice. You rejected him. He didn't reject you. He told you. God forbid one day we had to evacuate this building. And when we did, we said, everyone find the nearest exit door with a sign on it and go out that door. And we had folks go up there because they wanted to go out that way. Or we had folks go back there because they wanted to go out that way. Or we had folks just sit there because they didn't want to go because they didn't feel like it. Would it be our fault? We told you which way to go. You didn't take the way you were given. That's what salvation is. You must trust Christ to go to heaven. Heaven is a limited thing. You're going to go to heaven. You've got to get saved by trusting Christ or you're not going to heaven. And it's not fair to tell people any other way. And this heaven that will be, it has value to it. Can I show you the value of heaven? Look at it, Revelation 21. Here's the real value of heaven. You mean, how do you measure? I mean, how much gold is that now? Jasper, precious stones, and the No, here's the value of heaven. Look at verse 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Did you see any dollar signs on that? Hey, did you see any dollar signs on that? Do you see any award programs? Aren't you wonderful what you've done? Huh? Well, Pastor, all it says is God's going to be with us, and there's the value. That's what's most precious about the heaven that will be. Our folks are with God now. They're there now with him now. But that's going to all change one day, and he's going to make everything brand new. He's going to make a brand new place. But you know what's not going to change? God is still going to be with us there. Now, see, here's the deal. I got one amen on that one. Here's the deal. We get all excited about streets of gold and gates of pearl and walls of jasper, blah, 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 blah. When you say the real value of heaven is you get to be with God every day. When there are no more days for all of eternity. And that's the value of heaven. You can get a little taste of that here, you know. Mm-hmm. He was there this morning. Did you meet with him this morning? Hey, did you meet with him this morning? And he walks with me and he talks with me. And he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. We're sitting last night on the back porch area, my wife and I, and it was very windy, of course, but it was nice and cool. And I said, man, a couple of months from now, we're going to be begging for this. When God opens the door to purgatory and Reading is next door. Child of God, value the presence of the Lord in your life right now. Would you please? Hey, know it. Get saved. Then walk with God. Spend time with God. You can have a taste of that heavenly life one day. Then he'll make us a place where we'll go, leave this old flesh behind. Memories are gone. All the stuff that we shouldn't remember will be wiped away. Brand new place, never been tainted by sin or sorrow or sadness. Nothing that, and we're in this beautiful place. And after we spend a little time going, then after that's over with, we'll say, yeah, but here's what's important. There's my Savior. I get to see Jesus. I get to see God the Father. I'll know the presence and working of the Holy Spirit with no flesh to hinder it and no reason for it to be anything but just sweet fellowship with God. That, my friend, has no price. And it's a whole lot better than streets of gold and gates of pearl and walls of jasper. Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning.